All right, take your Bible tonight, if you would. Let's go to the book of 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Last week, preached to you a little bit about the need and the requirements for a pastor, and tonight we're going to see what the requirements are for a deacon, but I'm going to treat it a little bit differently than that, because sometimes you're not real careful. I think people sit in church and they think, well, that's not for me. That's not for me. Well, I want to show you tonight that what's here is for you. It is for you. I was talking to a friend of mine, a fellow pastor in the area, called me yesterday, and we talked for a little bit on the phone, and we were talking about people and preaching, and sometimes people don't seem to listen. They don't get what the message is. I know, I don't know how many of you remember the sermon I preached. Preacher, I'm here, but I ain't listening. Okay, and the only one remembers it. Okay, I can preach that again then. All right, good. I'll be preaching that again sometime. Of course, you weren't listening, right? I understand. No, so people miss it. But oftentimes people do. I think they get zoned out, and they get to thinking, well, this is not for me. Well, I want you to pay attention tonight, because everything here is for you, all right? Verse 8, if you will. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, we're going to leave off right there, because we'll take up in verse 16 next week, all right? We probably won't get anywhere but verse 16 next week. But I just want to go back, and I want you to understand what's been written, okay? Everything Paul has written here to Timothy, and I don't think it's just exclusive of chapter 3, but it includes what's in chapter 3. And notice what he said about the things he had written. Look in verse 14. These things, what things? The things we've just read. These things write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Paul says here, I'm writing to you. Now, he's writing under the inspiration of God, all right? I don't want you to get the idea, well, Paul sat down and wanted to write Timothy. God used it, all right? And God was in the writing and of what was written. And Paul said, I'm writing to you, but I want you to know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God. You need to know how to behave yourself. Now, our problem is, most of the time we hear the word church, we think of a building where a congregation meets. Now, that's not an incorrect thing, because this is a church building. It belongs to God. It is the house of God. It's God's house, in a sense. All right? But we think of a building rather than a body. But at the time Paul was writing Timothy, there were no church buildings. There were no buildings dedicated to the idea of just a church, all right, for a body of people to meet in them, for preaching and teaching. Those things, they didn't exist yet, all right? They didn't exist. But the Bible tells us here, in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. There's no doubt about the house of God being the church and the church being the house of God, okay? The Bible said it's the pillar and ground of the truth. It is a body of called out believers that are united together for worship and for service of God, all right? That's what it is, but it's a group of people. Truthfully, the church is the group of people. We could sit here tonight and a great tornado come by and God do a miracle and lift every piece of wall, ceiling off and carry it away and leave every one of us sitting here in the pew, but the church wouldn't be destroyed. It wouldn't be, the building would be. The building would be. And sometimes we mess that up. But I want you to focus in, all right? Paul, under the inspiration of God, says that we ought to know how to behave ourselves as members of that body. Okay? We ought to know how to behave ourselves as members of that body. He said you ought to know how to behave yourself in the church. Now, I do think you ought to know how to behave yourself in the building, that's the church building. Sometimes we don't respect it enough. You got to drill that into people. But it is the house of God. It belongs to Him. We ought to respect it. We ought to know how to behave in the building. But what I'm preaching to you tonight is not how to behave in this building. It's preaching to how you need to behave in the body of Christ. In this local body, all right? Hey, members ought to behave. What do you mean? They ought to live. I think they ought to live as the deacon and the deacon's wives are instructed to live. Hey, after all, where do you get a deacon from? We don't go recruit him somewhere, okay? He comes out of the body of that church. All right, so the requirement there, when we talk about how people ought to live, it is not that you and I, you say, well, that's not what I am. Preacher, I'm not the pastor. I don't have to live like you do. I'm not the deacon. I don't have to live like you do. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. We are to know how to behave ourselves, how to live in the body of Christ. Are you with me? I'm not floating by. You're not going there. What's he talking about? Everybody with me, right? Okay, we're to know how to do it. So I want to use some of these verses here. Actually, use all these verses here. Where he talks about how the deacon, the deacon's wife, I want you to see some of the things. Here's some things that will help us learn to behave the way we should in the body of Christ. First of all, look, if you will, there's one word in verse 8 and verse 11. One word in verse 8 and verse 11. Notice what it says, likewise must the deacons be grave. Then verse 11, even so must their wives be grave. Not out in the grave. Grave, all right? You say, what in the world are we talking about? That word means honorable. It's a word that refers to being honorable. That's upright and honest. That's the way the Bible said the deacons live that way. Well, bless God, don't you think every member of the church ought to live that way? We ought to all be upright. We ought to all be honorable people. We ought to all have that idea, you know, I'm going to live an honest life. The world today, I marvel at the terminology the world uses. They talk about being open and transparent. And usually the ones that say that the most are the most dishonest about the whole bunch, okay? And they hide more than anything else. We don't go around talking about we want to be transparent, all right? But hey, you know what? We'll just be honorable. We ought to live honorable lives. We ought to live that way. We're not to be dishonest. We're not to be dishonorable people. We're to be people that, hey, people that you're not ashamed. Yeah, those folks, they go to my church. I know them. I know them. They're part of our church and good folks, all right? Hey, we ought to all have that desire to be honorable people. Not just, you say, well, it's just the deacon and his wife. No, it's every child of God. Honorable people, honorable people. Then look again in verse 8 and in verse 11. Notice what it said, not double-tongued. And in verse 11, not slanderers. Hey, if there's one thing we ought to be able to do in the house of God is control this thing that's in your mouth. You ought to be in control of it. Not double-tongued. A double-tongued individual is just simply a liar. They tell the story one way with one group, and they tell the story a different way with another group. You know, and it's all different. The story depends on who they're talking to, all right? Hey, that should not be you and I. We're not to be double-tongued. We're to be straightforward and without pretense, without prevarication, or not to be any lying about us. We're to just be right up front. Hey, man, this is it, all right? This is it. Not trying to hide anything. And don't have nothing out there. And I'm not trying to pull a fast one on you with a quick speech in front of you. Now, the way you use words is important, okay? The way you use words is important. Now, I kind of like do something. I aggravate kids at school, you know, because they'll say, well, you said this. I said, that is not what I said. I said, that's the way you took it. I said, here's what I said, all right? Here's what I said. I'll never forget, there's a story of two quartet men singers, and one of them told the other one, he said, I don't think there's anybody I hadn't rather hear sing than you. And the guy that he told it to, he said, man, it just, when I first heard it, overwhelmed me. I nearly cried. I thought, man, is that true? He said the other guy, every time he had run into him, he kept repeating it. I just want you to know there ain't anybody I hadn't rather hear sing than you. Now, if you really examine that, that ain't a compliment, okay? That's not a compliment. Hey, it's the words we use, all right? We're to be careful. We're to be careful. Notice the Bible said, not a slanderer. That's somebody that talks about somebody else, especially to run them down. Run them down. Folks, we're not to use our tongues that way. We're not to do that. We're in the house of God, okay? We're in the house of God. This tongue that we use, well, we're to be careful about the way we talk, what we say, and the way we say things. We need to take care that we don't hate. We need to be careful. We try our best never to offend anybody, and sometimes we may, and if you do, you ought to immediately, I realize it, and apologize. Immediately do that. And by the way, if you do get offended and somebody apologizes, take their apology. Take their apology. Here's that situation, okay? We're talking about how do we behave ourselves in the house of God? Well, we're careful with this tongue. I'll be honest with you. I think more damage has been done to the body of Christ with the tongue than any other way. With the tongue, people say things. Sometimes people get mad at other people and they say things vindictively. They say things on purpose to hurt people. All right? I've dealt with the kids in school. Well, I told them they were my friend, and I told them that, and I said, don't ever tell anybody. And they said they wouldn't tell anybody. I said, well, that's when they were your friend. Hey, if there's something you really don't want told, don't tell it. Don't tell it. Well, I told my very best friend I can tell him anything. Yeah, and people get mad and then they spout off. Now, later on, they regret it. But it's too late. Too late. And what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying in the body of Christ, one thing we ought to learn to do is control that tongue. Just control our tongue. Control what we say. Control how we say it. Control how we say it. Be careful about it. Be careful about it. Hey, if you're going to know how to behave yourself in the house of God, you're going to watch your tongue. Next thing I want you to see. Drop down in there and verse 9. Holding the mystery of the faith. Holding the mystery of the faith. Verse 11. Faithful in all things. I want to tell you, you talk about how to behave yourself in the house of God, it ought to be strong faith. We are people of faith. We're to know it. We're to know what we believe. So what do you mean by faith? Well, what you believe. The doctrines of our faith, all right? The Bible doctrines. We ought to know them. We ought to hold to them, okay? Now, that is what it is to, if you will, holding the faith, all right? Holding the faith. Man, I've got it. I know what I believe. If everybody else in my church dropped dead tomorrow, I could carry on because I know what we believe. Now, the sad thing is a lot of people don't. But we should. Remember, Paul's writing here. He said, I want you to know how you ought to behave yourself. Sort of hold to that faith. Sort of hold to that faith. Hey, listen, that's why people love the Bible. We come to Sunday school. We come to church services, everyone we can. We don't look for one to miss. We don't look for an excuse not to go. We look for a chance to be there and hear the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. We read our Bibles. We do all those things. Why? Because I want to know what we believe. I want to know why we believe it. And I want to know those great doctrines and don't want to be shaken from them. I want to hold on to them, all right? Then to be faithful in all things, to be faithful in all things, to be steadfast. Steadfast in the faith. Hey, that's both in belief and practice. Practice. The great privilege we have as Americans is it's written that we have the freedom to practice our faith. We don't have the freedom just to believe anything we want to, but to practice it. It's the free exercise, as the Constitution says, the free exercise of our faith. That's super important. Super important. You know, I've said this before in times past. If they passed a law in the state of Texas, or they tried to pass a law in the state of Texas that no sermon could last longer than 3 hours, I'd fight it. I'd fight that law. He said, preacher, you ain't never preached 3 hours, have you? No. Never. But if they can say 3 hours, they can say 3 minutes. It's the free exercise of our faith. Hey, if they tell me I can't go up and down the street knocking on doors, we got a problem. That's the free exercise of my faith. That is the free exercise. You be careful, you know. You say, well, yeah, I just get tired of them Jehovah's Witnesses come by. Fine, they got as much right, because they got the right to free exercise of their religion. We do too. Now, the problem is we don't. We don't exercise it the way we should. We believe it, or we say we believe it, but it's the exercise of that faith, all right? Hey, faithful people holding on to that faith, stand for the faith, stand on your faith. And that's how to behave yourself in the body of Christ, in the church, all right? Be people of faith. Then another thing I want you to notice there that they said at the end of verse 8, not greedy of filthy lucre. Not greedy of filthy lucre. Boy, the one thing, God's people, the way we exercise ourselves in the house of God, we're not to be greedy, we're not to be covetous people. Not greedy people. So many people today are focused on money and nothing but money. I know some folks like that. Folks that used to be active serving God, but they don't have time now to serve God. They're serving their own billfold, their own pocket, and they're determined. This, I've got to earn as much money as I can. Look, I'm not against you earning money. I'm not against you getting a raise. I'm not against you having a tremendous salary. And I'm not against you winning the publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes. I am against you winning the lottery, okay? Because I'm against you playing the lottery. But if, you know, I'm in favor of all those things, but wait a minute. Let's not be greedy of filthy lucre. And I've just got to have it. Don't let it stick to you too tightly. Now, I believe in saving. A while back, I decided, man, I'm going to cut our cost. I said, we're spending money we don't need to spend, and it's just goofy. I said, we're just going to quit. So we did. We did. Now, you say, your wife. Oh, no, me. Wasn't her. It was me. And so I said, man, I'm going to quit spending this money. And, you know, it's amazing if you cut it out. And you say, well, what are you doing that for? Well, one reason is so just if there's a need, I can just give. I don't have to look and say, well, I got to pay the cable bill. I'm not preaching against cable, all right? But I decided, yeah, I can't find anything to watch when I had 400 channels. And why am I paying for it? So, I, you know, get rid of it. And I can gripe about nothing to watch now just as well, but it doesn't cost me, all right? Doesn't cost me to do that. I'm just saying, hey, we need to be careful that we don't get too good a grip on our money. Don't get greedy. You say, why do you say that? Because that way, if God speaks to you, hey, you ought to give here or there, you ought to do that, you won't. But, no, you don't have too tight a grip on it. Don't be greedy, a filthy lucre, all right? Now, I'm not advertising be goofy either, all right? I'm not an advocate of saying, you know, just go out there and give it all away or throw it away. No, there's proper usages. But it's okay for you to have money, just don't let money have you. Just don't let it have you. And that's what happens to so many people. Hey, in the house of God, ought not to be that way. I want it to be, I want our church to be, we see somebody in our church in need, that we just help them out. Just help them out. Say, here, you look like you could use this. Let me be a blessing to you here. Go for it. We ought to be like that. We ought to be like that. Notice verse 9. I purposefully quit reading where I did, all right, a while ago, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. In a pure conscience. Hey, the only way you can have that is if the heart is right. If the heart is right. A pure conscience is a conscience, a clear conscience with God and man. Clear conscience. I've woken up. It's not so much a conscience thing, but it kind of illustrates a little bit. I woke up one night last week. And I woke up last night. I was having a dream. You know what the dream was? It was Sunday morning, December the 12th. We had met for Sunday school, and the thought just blasted him, I don't have that video ready. I don't have that ready yet. And I'll run home. I don't have time to do that. I'll just run away, huh? You know, until that thing gets finished, it's going to work at me. I've been working on it, but it just works at me, all right? Hey, when you've got sin in your life, you can't have pure conscience. You can't have a pure conscience, just can't do it. As the songwriter said, nothing between my soul and the Savior. Well, that's the way we ought to try to keep it. That's the way we ought to try to keep it. That pure conscience, a clear conscience, all right? Got to keep your sin confessed. Got to keep a close examination on your life. We ought to do those things. We ought to do those things. Why? That's part of how to behave in the house of God amongst other believers. Keep that sin confessed. Then look at verse 10. Verse 10, would you look at there what it says? And let those also first be proved. Be proved. Ought to be proven. Listen, you and I ought to be able to stand testing and temptation. We ought to be able to stand that. Proved folks hang around and weather the storms that life can throw at you. You just weather the storms, okay? Proved folks do that. And everybody ought to do it. Everybody ought to endeavor to be found faithful in all situations and over time. Just go on, whatever comes. That's proving. You've proved. Hey, you ought to prove yourself as a believer. Nothing wrong with you being challenged to do that. Prove, hey, I can take some adversity. I can take some trouble. I can take some problems. I can deal with those things because God helps me through it. My faith is strong enough. My relationship with the Lord is good enough that the storm doesn't break that tie and cause me to run off and hide somewhere, all right? Hey, proven folks are not in and out. They're not on and off. They're not here then gone. No, proven folks stick it out. they stick it out. They're there. Amen. Preacher, I'm here for the long haul. Here for the long haul. I'm ready. Let's go. It's not here and there and everywhere. I think of folks that, and going back and looking at pictures and everything, there's some folks that used to come to our church that they've been three or four since they left us. Just, hey, they're not proven. Proven. Hey, proven means guaranteed you're dependable. You're dependable. Somebody asks you, I'll take care of it. You ask me what to do, I'll do it. If I tell you I'll do it, it'll get done. It will get done. Well, I had to stay up late. We'll stay up late. Well, I had to get up early. We'll get up early. Just do whatever you have to do. Proven. You don't want somebody, the Bible is very specific here saying, you don't want somebody who's unproved in the office of a deacon. In the same way it said about a pastor, he said you don't want somebody that is, what's the way they put it? Not a novice. I was looking for that verse. There it is. Not a novice. Oh, somebody's proven. Somebody's got a track record, okay? Somebody's got a track record. You can point it out. Proven. Boy, another thing we need, I want you to see this in verse 12. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. Let me just say it this way. What's necessary for to behave ourselves in the house of God is to really have some stable families. Stable families. I mean, where everybody is in line. There's love, but there's discipline. Some people think, well, I love them too much discipline. You don't love them enough. Love and discipline. And by the way, discipline is not just punishment, okay? Sometimes punishment is involved in discipline. But love and discipline, those two things go together. If you really love, you as a parent love your children, you'll discipline them. You'll bring them up. You will teach them. You will train them. That ought to be going on in the house of every believer, all right? It ought to be something that is there. There ought to be stability in homes. It ought not to be a constant battleground. Now, as far as I know, none of you folks here are duking it out with your spouse during the week, all right? Are you? No, I don't think you are, okay? But it ought to be like, that's the way it ought to be. It ought to be that way. We shouldn't come to the house of God after we fought all the way to church and fussed about everything. There ought to be that stability. Children brought up in a home like that grow up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. One of the things I see in a Christian school, and one thing I've learned in working with kiddos, is, boy, homes are disastrous. Disastrous. There's no stability. I think sometimes they open the door and said, all right, just run wild, but stay inside. Do whatever you want to. There's no training. There's no calming. And you get kids, man, they're wired because they're used to going nuts. They can't sit still a few moments. You know, they talk about attention span. And there's certain amounts of time, but I think as years go by, those certain ages, their attention span keeps dropping and dropping and dropping because there's no stability in that home, and it's just a wild place. It shouldn't be like that. Should not be like that. Our homes ought to be a place where God's honored, there's love, there's compassion, there's discipline. But man, there's never a doubt about the love that's there. But everybody has to do their job. Do their job. Now I'll just wind up the message tonight. If you don't know what I think it ought to be, is notice what it says at the end of verse 10. Three words. Being found blameless. Being found blameless. Now that's not perfect, okay? But when God's people behave themselves, they're going to have a good, consistent, and clean testimony. They're just going to have a good testimony out there. Blameless. A good reputation with everybody. Lord, it'd be a good reputation amongst the family of God, the house of God here. We ought to have a good reputation with each other. Everybody ought to look to the other and respect them and look up to them and say, man, there's consistent living there. There's clean living there. That's what ought to be. That's the goal, all right? That's the goal. That our house of God would be like that. And we'd behave ourselves that way. Why? Because we want that reputation. We want that testimony. I want that testimony for our church out in the world. Hey, there's a lot of churches don't have a good testimony. I've known of many through the years had a bad testimony. Well, it ought not to be like that. Known of preachers that had bad testimonies, bad reputations out in the world. God help us not to be like that. Hey, we want to know how to behave ourselves. Hey, the problem, too many Christians will not behave themselves. That's why churches and Christians don't have the good report that they used to have in the world. We've quit behaving ourselves. We've quit behaving ourselves. And a lot of it, hey, falls at the feet of the pastors, preachers. You know, we constantly hear them getting into sin problems. Hey, we don't behave ourselves. That ruins our reputation, all right? That ruins it. God help you and me, every one of us, to learn to set a good example for anybody that would observe our lives. And everybody would be able to, now they wouldn't use this terminology, but in effect what they would say is those people know how to behave themselves. We ought to know that, and we ought to do it. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you'd help us tonight. Help us see the truth of the Word of God. It's easy for us to get lazy in our Christian life. Lord, it's easy for us to let down the guard. It's easy for us to quit standing firm and standing strong in the faith. But Lord, I pray you'd help us not to do that. Lord, help us instead to do what Paul said, that we might be able to behave ourselves. And we would be blameless. Lord, we'd have a good reputation, a good testimony. Everything that's said there in those verses ought to be true of every believer. And Lord, help us to live and make it true in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, appreciate you.